This has been a kind of incredible week for Coalition for Jewish Values, which I serve as managing director. Let me kind of walk you through what happened. I got a call last week from a mentor of mine who's been a mentor for years. Like many Orthodox rabbis, he is involved in his particular position doesn't allow him to be publicly affiliated with us, but he's obviously a great fan of what we say and what we do. And he called me up about this ADL attack on Tucker Carlson and said, it just makes sense for your organization to be saying something about this crazy attack, which I had sort of dismissed as, you know, Jonathan Greenblatt, who is the CEO of ADL. You know, are we supposed to comment every time he sneezes? But as usual, I was wrong, meaning that it was very significant. People were taking it very seriously that the head of the ADL was criticizing Tucker Carlson and even calling for him to be fired. And it was just a crazy accusation, and somebody ought to be standing up to it. In case you haven't heard all the details, Tucker Carlson on his show was talking about the new, I think it's HR 1, which is supposed to revise so-called voting rights, which specifically requires that no state require ID for voters. You have to have ID for all sorts of purposes, but somehow all of a sudden it's racist to require ID. The real purpose to that, it's kind of obvious, it enables illegals to vote. Illegals vote for the party that gives illegals free stuff. It's obvious which party that is. That party is seeking control and power. And so they want a situation where illegals can vote. It's that simple. If you ask me, I mean, this is, of course, my opinion. But in any case, there's certainly nothing. That's an opinion shared, obviously, by Tucker Carlson. He says this, and he says, you know, they're trying to replace valid legal voters by outweighing them with illegal voters. And that he took pains to point out that when you talk about replacement, it sounds like whites talking about white supremacy replacement. Those who remember Charlottesville, the Jews will not replace us. You see, it's that type of talk. And he said, that's not what's going on here at all. This is about illegal immigration replacement. It has nothing to do with some replacement theory, some white conspiracy thing. That's nothing to do with that. And he says that, and he also says the left is going to go crazy, the Twitter mob is going to go crazy whenever you talk about replacement. And Jonathan Greenblatt of the ADL, his reaction was basically knee-jerk. He said exactly what Tucker Carlson predicted, you know, that this is racist, that it's white supremacy, and therefore Tucker Carlson should be fired, which is, you know, cancel culture at its best. So again, somebody had to say something. So, you know, we did, but to us, the, you know, it was difficult to form the letter the right way. We wanted to point out that Tucker Carlson was an example of a phenomenon, which is the ADL abandoning its historic mission. If you look at the ADL, I mean, they were created to fight anti-Semitism. You know, apparently, according to Rabbi Dov Fischer, which I'll get to at the end, he says that it was the lynching of a Jewish person without evidence that sort of led to formation of the ADL. Now, the ADL grew into a very big, powerful organization. In 2015, it was taken over by Jonathan Greenblatt, whose previous position was working for the Obama administration. That's where his politics are. He has no special expertise in anti-Semitism. He has no background in anti-Semitism. The question is, you know, what are his qualifications? Basically, that he's a very adept political left-wing figure. And so he becomes this great spokesperson for anti-Semitism who only seems to be able to identify anti-Semitism coming from the right-hand side, which is what we point out in our letter, which I will, of course, link. We walk through the fact that, you know, anti-Semitism is called the longest hatred by scholars. Robert Wistrick called it the longest hatred in his book, was titled Anti-Semitism, the Longest Hatred, for a good reason. We have a standard for understanding anti-Semitism. It has nothing to do with politics. It is not any one political ideology which is exclusively the home of anti-Semitism. Right now, you can find anti-Semitism on the right and on the left. Yet, under Jonathan Greenblatt, the ADL publishes a guide called Naming the Hate, pointing out by name individuals that it calls anti-Semites. And they're all figures on the alt-right, some of whom are genuinely anti-Semitic, some of whom are simply not, but they have nothing to say about left-wing or radical Islam anti-Semitism. The ADL denounced Brett Kavanaugh the day his nomination was announced, but did not denounce Linda Sarsour. And what does that tell you about the organization? They tried to blame the Trump administration for a surge in anti-Semitic incidents, but the ADL's own data completely contradicted that. The ADL, according to our letter, has tirelessly endeavored to hide the truth readily known to most Jews in America. The overwhelming majority of anti-Semitic acts occur in Democrat-controlled cities and on college campuses dominated by progressive currents. You know, the less politically correct way to point out this out is that an awful lot of anti-Semitic, violent anti-Semitic attacks have been carried out by members of ethnic minorities that are not classically known to vote for Trump. And, you know, if you look at the Brooklyn crime statistics, especially in 2019, when there was a wave of unprovoked attacks against Orthodox Jews prior to COVID, one after the other, after the next, the perpetrator was a member of an ethnic minority. We also pointed out, speaking of ethnic minorities, that Jonathan Greenblatt was giving credibility to MSNBC's Al Sharpton, you know, who led a three-day anti-Semitic pogrom in New York, for which he didn't quite apologize for it. He said, you know, maybe I should have used different rhetoric, and he pointed out that Mrs. King said his rhetoric was wrong. But meanwhile, he didn't call for him to be fired. Dov Hyken made another point that just recently on Saturday Night Live, Michael Che made an obviously anti-Semitic joke about Israel. 100%. It was classic, straight, anti-Semitic bigotry on Saturday Night Live, for which the network has not apologized, the show has not apologized, the ADL has not called for Michael Che to be fired. Dov Hyken says, look at the hypocrisy here. How can it be that you're calling for Carlson to be fired for something which you kind of unearth and claim and maybe, oh, it's anti-Semitism? Meanwhile, you have straight out anti-Semitism coming from a left-wing figure and you don't care. It's obvious that there's a political agenda here ahead of the real agenda, which is supposed to be fighting anti-Semitism. Happens to be that Dov Hyken, now that he's resigned from being a New York State assemblyman, he retired, he now runs an organization called Americans Against Anti-Semitism. There's also a group called Combat Anti-Semitism and a group called Stop Anti-Semitism, all of which have popped up over the last several years. All of them, obviously, there's a wave of increasing anti-Semitism. But if the ADL were really focused on doing its job, if the ADL were doing what it is supposed to do, it would be the organization building that coalition. It would be the organization fighting anti-Semitism. And people like Dov Hyken and ourselves wouldn't feel like we need to speak out against anti-Semitism because the ADL is doing it. The ADL occasionally really gets it right, and they still do. Jonathan Greenblatt, to his great credit, when the New York Times did some really deplorable, disgusting reporting on, you know, trying to claim that there was some sinister agenda in Jewish groups that believed in criminal justice reform, which has, of course, released a whole bunch of not only white-collar criminals, but people who had served their time, had been convicted for small drug offenses, things like that. Members of, again, minority communities given their freedom under Trump thanks to advocacy for criminal justice reform, a lot of which, yeah, was coming from Orthodox Jews. And then you have the same Orthodox Jews or different groups asking for clemency for various individuals. Trump grants clemency. And the New York Times says there's something sinister. There's some Jewish, a whole lot of them are Orthodox Jews. Isn't that interesting that a whole bunch of Orthodox Jews were asking for clemency? It's like, hello? I mean, what do you expect allies of any particular individual who's incarcerated to ask for? I mean, come on. And there was something sinister about it, and Greenblatt took him on. He took on the woke left New York Times. He obviously can really face up to anti-Semitism when he wants to, but he doesn't have, you know, again, he doesn't have the background, he doesn't have the tools, and he seems to have a political agenda in its place. And all of that is what we were speaking about. Okay, so again, we talk about it. And it blows up. We wrote a letter, this letter, to Jonathan Greenblatt, and our new PR agency is doing a fantastic job. They give it as an exclusive to the Jerusalem Post. The Jerusalem Post makes a story out of it. That story goes to PJ Media and CNS News and to Matzav. And, you know, I'm reading the list by, you know, out of my memory, trying to think who else. Town Hall covered it, I just learned. But then Newsweek covers it. Breitbart covered it also, by the way, which is huge. But then it gets covered by Newsweek, and Newsweek calls up the ADL and gets the ADL to respond to our letter. An unidentified spokesperson from the ADL responded to what we had to say, which, you know, this places us in an entirely different position from where we were a week ago. And again, it's entirely to the credit of this anonymous mentor of mine who gave the idea to us when I was kind of going to let it die, even though we had discussed it internally and there are other rabbis on the board who had perhaps a better better judgment than my own and were sort of in favor of saying something. And then the PR guy is doing such a terrific job of getting this out to people. And all of a sudden, we're this organization that has a real voice and a real brand such that, you know, the stewardship of the organization kind of has to change. I also want to give a shout out to my colleague, Rabbi Dov Fisher, our Western Regional Vice President. He has a piece that's going to be in American Spectator. As I am speaking now, it has not yet been published. I've seen it. It's phenomenal. I'm going to try to link to it as soon as possible. I don't know, maybe you'll come to my website, jacobmangan.com, or reload, if necessary, the description so you can see the link to that article, because he walks through the whole history of the ADL, how comparable it is to other religious movements also. We have people misrepresenting our values as something different. But here, in the fight against anti-Semitism, it is truly dangerous for an organization of the prominence of the ADL to be off course like this, not identifying and standing up to the real anti-Semitism, but instead identifying it as a political thing. We can't afford to have anti-Semitism be a political topic. And just the fact that we stood up has gotten us a tremendous amount of credibility, obviously a lot of new fans who all saw the same thing that we did. Again, go look at Rabbi Fisher's piece because he walks through the various critics who are respected figures in the Jewish world with a head on their shoulders who have written about the problem of the ADL going off course. We really look forward to that. You know, I'd love to see the course correction really happen. But you know, it's led to an opportunity for us to stand up against real anti-Semitism and to fight for it in a nonpartisan way and stand for the values that we really, truly support in, you know, part of our effort to upend and correct an inverted planet. Inverted Planet is sponsored in memory of Carl Stitzer, and I remain very grateful to the Stitzer family for keeping this project afloat. If you enjoyed listening, please be sure you've subscribed. This podcast is available on all major platforms and all popular Android and iPhone podcast apps. And be sure to spread the word by giving us a 5-star rating and telling your friends about the Inverted Planet podcast. Thanks for listening.